Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, can you flip to the next slide? Slide master. Thank you. Okay, so our sermon series for Lent is the covenantal God. And last week we talked about the covenantal God and saving water. And do you remember the story we heard last week? Noah. It was the story of Noah and how God made a covenant with Noah. God made a covenant with Noah that he would never again, or God would never again, flood the earth, right, and kill all the creatures. So he made that covenant not just with Noah, but also with all the creatures on the earth, all of earth, and for generations to come. Covenantal God, a covenantal God, covenant, promise. And it's a one way, because we talked last week about how no matter how hard we try, we cannot keep our promises. But we are grateful and thankful that we have a God who does keep promises that are made. Because God can do nothing else than keep the promises. So the promise made was, I will never again destroy all the earth with water. And we heard all about the bow that was placed in the sky, as we call that the rainbow. Not a sign for us, but a sign for God, to remind God that even when God gets angry, God will not destroy again. We have a God who puts limits on God's self for our sake and the sake of life. And so through water, life is given, not death. And we talked about the baptismal waters, those waters that save. And so today we're going to hear the story, or we heard the story, of the covenantal God, God who enters into covenants with creation, and a new identity that springs from that. So, how many of you like your name? Anybody here like their name? Anybody here not like their name? Carl, yes, Carl does not like his name. Anybody here think about changing their name? Lots and lots and lots of people have been changing their names. It's like the most recent phenomena. Everybody's changing their names. But a name is really powerful, isn't it? Because, I mean, think about anybody here who has had a child, how stressful it is to name the child. I see laughter going on. It is extremely stressful, right? I have not had children of my own, so it's not something that I have done, but I have attempted to name other people's children. You heard that story about my niece who had her third, and I declared what the baby's name was, and she declared that his name was Trey Michael. So, not the same. But it's like people start tossing names around, right? They just start tossing. The woman who does my nails, she's like, oh, she's pregnant. She's like, I just don't know what to name the baby. And I tossed out a name, and she said, oh, my gosh, I love it. I absolutely love it. So I was like, oh, I'm so excited. I got to name this child. We toss around names. We use family names, right? We use a family name. It's like, oh, no, I don't like that aunt. Can't name, you know. Or we may name it after someone, a beloved aunt, a beloved uncle, a parent, or a grandparent, right? How about the one where love the name, don't like the person that I knew that had that name? Have you ever heard, right, when you're trying to decide these things? Do you know that the phenomenon now is like, so my girlfriend named her son Brett after Brett Saberhagen years and years and years ago. So, that, you know, like you'll name it after maybe your favorite athlete. Or how about television show characters? For a while, the name Brienne became really popular. Jillian became popular. These were soap opera characters that were going on. Biblical names became popular again, I will say, because it kind of like cycles around. I talked about sports figures. How about very, very ethnic names that are out there. Because you want your child to, there's an identity and there's a heritage that goes along with that. Is there any particular very Norwegian or Swedish names that, how about in Mary Tyler Moore? What was the name? Lars, right? Where was he from? Sweden, if anybody remembers that show. Thank you. My parents, too, tossed around what to name me. My grandmother's name was Aurelia. So if Carl's laughing back there. You don't see me as an Aurelia? Okay, thank you. Nor did my mother. She was just like, no, absolutely not. So she just felt that was too adult for a child. So my grandmother on my father's side name was Margaret. My mother was like, I don't want Peggy. It's just how she was. So then my father came up with the name Colleen. Now my maiden name is Colleen, and my maiden name is McDonald. So my mother is fully German. Her parents came from Germany, and she was like, we're not having a Colleen McDonald. You know, it was just too ethnic for her. So picking out the name is incredibly stressful. Now, I don't know that I particularly liked my name, but I never had a desire to change my name. There was a woman who was born with a given name, and she decided to change her name, and her mother was really distraught over this. I don't understand why she did this. And when her mother was dying, she said, my daughter called me today, and she identified herself by the name I gave her at birth. What a beautiful gift she gave to her mother as her mother lay dying in hospice. And at the funeral that I had done, her daughter came to me and identified herself by her birth name. So she gave honor to her mother, even though she had changed her name. There was another woman who had three girls biologically, and their names all began with an A. And she adopted three more little girls. I mean, these girls were elementary and under. And these girls wanted to change their name. They wanted a new identity. They wanted a name that began with A so that they would fit into this family. So they picked for themselves new names that began with A, and then their biological names that were given to them became their middle name. So names really have a shaping focus in our life. Our name is actually associated with our identity, isn't it? Yeah, it's who we are. In business, before Carl and I got married, my name was Marianne McDonald. And my name was on lots and lots and lots of correspondence that went out. There would be about 1,000 pieces of mail that would go out on a monthly basis. And on my letterhead, it always had, you know, Marianne Bean McDonald. Well, then Carl and I, we're engaged, we get married, and we go to fill out, you know, the form that you apply to get your license, your marriage license. And on it, it said, all right, you know, question, you know, you're going to change your name. Well, I noticed that it said, is Carl, the husband, going to change his name to my name? Or am I going to change my name to his name? Or are we going to hyphenate? Or are we going to just leave it as it is? So I looked at that because I was really struggling. I mean, I was Marianne McDonald for 30 years, and in business, everyone knew me that way. And so we said, well, hyphenated was absolutely ridiculous. McDonald Kallenbach was absolutely insane. And as insane as Kallenbach was for me. So I said to Carl, oh my gosh, look at this. You can become Carl Thomas McDonald. And he said, that is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. And I said, really? Why? He goes, well, because I'm Carl Thomas Kallenbach. And I said, right, just like I'm Marianne Barbara McDonald. I said, but I'm going to change my name, especially since there were two stepchildren involved that had the name Kallenbach. Someone said to me, not to worry, they're going to know. When they see Marianne B. Kallenbach, Marianne B. McDonald, they're going to know that something happened here. But you see, it was a huge thing for me because I felt as if my identity was changing and taking on that name. But what I realized was, it really wasn't changing. I was still the Marianne B., whatever you want to call me, after that. When God, only when God changes our names, do our identities change. Does something brand new happen? It doesn't matter what we call ourselves. It matters what God calls us. Abram and Sarai, they discovered this later on in life, by the way. God makes a covenant. He makes a promise with Abram. I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. I'm going to change your name to Abraham, which, by the way, means father of a great nation. This covenant, this promise that I'm making with you, I am making with you and with all of your descendants, and it will be everlasting. And here's the covenant I'm making with you. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants. But it's not just the descendants of Abraham. You see, Sarai, Abraham's wife, is brought into this promise, into this covenant. God extends the promise to include Abraham's wife, Sarai. He tells Abraham, and Sarai, your wife, her name will now be Sarah, and I will bless her, and I will give you a son from her. Sarah has not been able to have children at all. From a barren woman, all of these descendants will come. God is saying to Sarah, I will be your God and the God of all of your descendants. Now, we think about this today and we say, this is just plain crazy. Sarah is 90 years old. Abraham is 99. Abraham could possibly be the father of a child. But think about Sarah. Okay, let's be realistic here. She's 90. So God makes a promise to a 90-year-old woman who was unable to bear children. And bearing children in that culture was critical. To not bear children meant that you must have done something wrong. God chooses the most unlikely people to make a covenant with. It's not the young, perky, pretty, strong, brawny, or anything like that person that is chosen, but the one that the rest of the world had discarded and had said, we're done, you're done, your time is done. And here God is doing something so brand new. These two people in these what we would call later years in their life. God gives them a new name. God gives them a new identity. God gives them a new calling and is reorienting their very life. And God does the same thing as you heard me say in the children's sermon with Jacob. Renames him Israel. The same with Saul, who is now Paul. The same with Simon, who God renames Peter, one of the disciples. And you know something? God doesn't stop there. God does this renaming with you and with me. And it happens at our baptism. At our baptism, we are given a brand new name. At our baptism, we are given the promise that God will be our God. Marianne Barbara, at her baptism, became Marianne Barbara, child of God. And it didn't stop there. Then I heard, even though I was a little baby, but I get to hear it now when I do it, actually with the others, Marianne Barbara, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. There is the promise the new name, given a brand new identity and the promise that comes along with that. Just like Abraham and Sarah, you and I are given a name change and the promise. We are given a new identity. We are given a new calling. We are given a way in which we are to reorient our life. We have a covenantal God, a God who makes promises, who's doing new things through us and with us each and every day, things that we can't even begin to imagine. So believe the words of the promise. Believe the words of the covenant and start to live into your new name. Dennis, Dennis, Michelle, Pat, Nancy, Cecilia, child of God. The thing that I've discovered in my life, and this thing that this story tells us, is that it is never too late, because just look at Sarah. Amen.